Well, amen. Let's go in our Bibles tonight to the book of John. John chapter number 6. John 6. We're going to read a story here tonight I hope you have heard before. John chapter number 6. Let's look in verse number 15. John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Yes, I was on church Sunday night. Amen. I was here. And that's why I'm preaching this tonight, because Pastor did a horrible job. No, that's not it either. That's not it. Amen. Don't believe that. In fact, it was a great blessing to me, and it's been in my mind since, that idea of in the storm, you keep rowing. In the storm, you keep rowing. And the Lord kept bringing it back to me over and over. It stuck with me more than a lot of messages. I'm sad to say I'm like you often, where sometimes by Sunday night, you don't remember Sunday morning's message all the time. But then there's sometimes that sticks with you. And the Lord kept that thought in my head, and I'm not going to re-preach his message, but I want to focus on just that point of it about what it means to keep rowing and just dive a little bit deeper into that idea as we talk about rowing. We are getting ready to go on the men's canoe trip in a few weeks, and although I don't row anymore, I like hiking. I hike alongside the river. I was at the store today, and I saw this there. So did you know this was under there, Pastor? I might have tightened it too much. I might need a man to get undone here. It's a little emergency paddle. Look at that. That's not bad, right? And it's on sale. It's on clearance. If you want one, they're in a bin in the middle aisle. $5. It's not a bad deal for a little thing like this. I'll put it in a canoe if somebody needs it for the trip. But what you hear and what I said a lot when I was on the canoe trip to the person in front of me, I'm usually in the back of the canoe. Steering, you do a lot of steering, so you have to stop rowing when there's sharp turns, because you can steer at some point. If you're rowing on the right side, the canoe will go left. If you row on the left side, the canoe will go right. But some of those turns are incredibly sharp, and you have to take your oar, and you can't row with it. You have to actually put it in the water and use it like a rudder on the ship, and you turn it side to side. And sometimes you even have to paddle backwards on the side to get it to go super sharp turns. But the person in the front has to keep rowing, or you lose all momentum, and the canoe just stops. And when the canoe stops, it's not turning, it's not going anywhere. In fact, the current might take it and start going, pushing you into the bushes or down the river. And you'll hear that hollered, as my dad's famous for it. Keep rowing. What are you doing, boy? Keep rowing. And you got to keep rowing. I'm going to set this up here, if it'll stay, as a reminder to us tonight of that idea to keep rowing. Pastor said during the message, and I believe the Lord spoke through him to all of us, to keep rowing when there's a storm. And in our lives, storms look differently. As the disciples faced a physical storm here out on the water, over that Galilean Sea, the mountains, the wind comes down. The Bible even here mentions a great wind that comes, and storms just whip up. And these are experienced men, but they still face a storm. And in our lives, we will face storms that take different shapes and last for different periods of time. Sometimes it's a health crisis that you're facing. I tried to pray just tonight. I didn't go through the whole list. My daughter's prayed some, I prayed some, and I was just going through the people in our church who are praying for health needs. And there's a lot of them that came up here tonight. A lot of people dealing with back pain and things like that. That can be a storm when you're the one dealing with it. There's issues in marriages. There are problems with parenting and dealing, raising children. There's sometimes fights in families and trying to keep peace in your families. There's financial hardships and jobs that change. There's, you know, internal things like anxiety, stress, depression, or feeling less like lost, or you don't have a purpose, you don't know what to do. There's battles against sinfulness and temptation in our lives when you don't feel like you're getting victory. Sometimes you're praying for someone to get saved for a long period of time, and it just weighs on you. I mean, the storm, as we use this symbolism, can take many different forms in your life. And if we went around the room here tonight and asked, what's a storm, what's something you're going through right now, we could have different stories from all of us. But there's something that's constant and consistent in all of our lives, and that is the fact that we will face storms. We will. In my mind, what I want my Christian life to be is more like a lazy river. You know, you just grab a tube, you can sit there, you can fall asleep, you don't have to swim, you don't have to move, and you will just keep going around and around and around. Everything is preordained, everything is laid out for you, everything is done for you, and it's just, you know, the epitome of relaxation there, just floating around. But the disciples, you know, maybe that day they were just hoping for a nice voyage where the sea is calm, the wind is blowing, they have the sails up, and they don't have to do much other than a little adjustment now and then. And I feel like that's where we like to live. You know, you realize I do have to get involved. I can't just be on the lazy river and just let life happen. I have to adjust. I have to steer. I have to direct this thing. But then there's moments when there is a storm. And as Christians, we need to remember, this is something Pastor said, I'm just kind of echoing it here tonight, is that we need to row. That's life. We don't want it to be in our flesh, but the fact that there is work and hardship and tribulation and storms is expected. It's normal. Even outside of our own personal storms, just as Christians, we're called to work. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, therefore thou endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's telling him to endure what? Hardness. That's not the lazy river. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Christ calls us to forsake the world, to forsake riches, to forsake ease, and instead we take on the place of a laborer, a soldier, a worker, a race runner, a missionary, a martyr. It's what we're called to do. So before we talk about what to do, what rowing is, just let's wrap our heads around the idea is that rowing shouldn't be odd. It shouldn't seem like that's the exception. No, the times where we're blessed and it's easy are more the exception. But even in those situations, God has given us work and labor to do in His name. When we're not taking on a personal struggle or family struggle, we still have a commission that we're given, and we're still called to be busy in this ministry. So sadly, to myself, there is no lazy river in Christianity. It doesn't exist. There is always rowing to be done. A storm hits, what do? You row. You row. It says here in the other companion, we're not going to read them tonight, Mark chapter 6 is another passage along this lines, and it says that they were toiling in their rowing. Toiling. And I had to look up what it meant to toil. And it says in the dictionary that it is working hard or incessantly. And I thought, great, there's a definition with a word in it I have to look up. What is incessantly? Incessantly means without interruption or constantly. They were rowing constantly. No interruptions, no pauses. That's what it means when they were toiling in their rowing. So, what does it mean to row? Rowing means in the storm to do the same thing you were doing before the storm, and it's the same thing you'll be doing after the storm. When you face a storm, a big mistake is to think, I need to change. Something's got to change. There's a mistake, that's why I'm here. Now, it's possible that we have storms of our own making. And there are some things we can do about those things. You know, if you're in a financial mess, well, do you have a budget? That's something you can do. But a lot of these things are out of our control. They're in the Lord's hands. And to think I need to leave what I'm doing, I need to leave what I know is right, I need to step aside from all the things that got me to this place in my Christianity, in my faith, in my beliefs, those are lies. What we do is we need to keep going. Storms tend to blow you off track. What do you got to do? Keep pushing forward. Storms make life a mess. Keep going forward. Storms make the rowing harder, but you've got to keep rowing. You want to put the oar down. It's a storm. You imagine trying to row in rough seas? I mean, there's going to be times where you put the oar and you're not even going to hit the water. You're going to pull, it's going to be air because you're between waves. And there's times where the wave's going to be pushing against the oar so hard when you pull, it doesn't even feel like it's going to move. But you've got to keep rowing. Our tendency is going to be either, let's change course, let's get away from the storm, let's forsake the things I've been doing. It's going to be, let's just hunker down and wait for it all to go past. But we need to keep going. So what does it mean to row? I'm going to dig deep, but we're actually just going into the basics. Get close to God. Get close to God. When I'm in the storm and I'm told to row, I need to get close to God. Go to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. Look with me at verse number 10. What do you do when you're hitting something hard? The same thing you did before it got hard, hopefully. And the thing I hope you'll keep doing once God brings you through the storm is to get close to God. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, what do the righteous do? Runneth into it. The righteous, I love that. They runneth, they charge at it. They attack it. They get close to it. They pursue God. They draw nigh to God. The righteous runneth into it and is what? And is safe. Oh, we're still in a storm, but if I'm close to God, I know I'm somewhere safe. Psalms 46. Psalm 46. Middle of your Bible. Get close to God. Psalm 46. Look with me at verse number 1. We'll read 1 through 3. God is our what? Refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is our refuge and our strength. Draw nigh to God. Go with me to Philippians chapter number 4. One more verse on this point. Philippians 4. Most of us can quote Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's go back a verse or two. Let's look at verse number 11. 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We pull number 13 away sometimes from the context there, but when it's high, low, when he's full, when he's hungry, when he's suffering, when he's abounding, he's blessed. In all of it, I can do all things through Christ. Draw nigh, get close to God. What does that mean? Oh, most kids here can probably say, read your Bible, pray, sing praises, worship God. All things you've heard. It's not hard to row. Now you could hand this paddle to most people in the room and you could figure out what to do with it, right? It's pretty obvious if you get stuck. Well, I hope so. I'm sure we might be surprised by one or two people. But for most of us in the room, if you're in a boat and someone hands you this, you know what to do with it, right? It's not that it's a complicated thing, but it takes work. It takes discipline. It takes effort. It's not hard to read your Bible, but it takes some discipline.
Yes, sir.
Don't raise your hands, but how many people in the room today read their Bible today? Is it hard? Is it good? Yes. It's not hard to do, but sometimes it seems very hard to do. But that's what it means to keep growing. Read your Bible. Spend time getting close to God. Pray. Now, I could ask how many of you prayed, but we just prayed together, all right? But how many of us spend time with God? There's been days where I have caught myself, and there's been days I had to look back and think, yesterday I didn't. You know what I have to remind myself to do? Get back to rowing. Get close to God. Because we think that when the storm hits, then I'll get there. When I need God, then I'll get into it. But you know what happens when the storm hits and you don't normally row? You don't know what to do. Your mind doesn't even go to the oar. It goes everywhere else. You go into panic mode. You don't know what to do. I'm assuming this from what I've read and seen. I have never been in military training. But the basics of it is really about discipline, right? Breaking down your will, your decisions. No, you're going to get in line. You're going to trust these people around you. You're going to follow orders. So when stuff goes bad, you know what to do. If we only seek God in the middle of a storm, well, you probably won't seek God. You won't have a relationship with Him. Get close to God now. Keep rowing. If you're already in the storm, start doing it now. Sing, worship. Mark chapter 6, that other passage of this story, tells us that Jesus saw them from the shore. Let's go there to see it. Mark chapter number 6. I didn't write down the verse. Yes, thank you. Verse number 48 and 46, Jesus sends them. He goes up in the mountain to pray. At 47, he comes. The ship is in the midst of the sea. He's on land in 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing. The wind was contrary to them. Jesus saw what was happening. Jesus knew what was happening, and Jesus is going to come to them because God knew what was going on. And sometimes we forget this very critical thing of just getting close to God, because God cares about us. God loves us. God knows what's going on. A Christian should never say, no one understands. A Christian should never say, I've got no one to talk to. A Christian should never say, nobody cares. Those are lies. Those are lies of the devil. Because God loves, God cares, God understands, God sees, and God is waiting for us. Scripture tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. God knows. But do we get close to Him? We seek out other people frequently. Some people have the adverse reaction when there's a hard thing going on. They withdraw. And trying to get them to talk or come out of their shell is the biggest challenge in the world. Other people, when they have hard times, they tell everybody in the world, and they just need to talk to everybody about everything. Don't forget God. You might say it's not the same when I talk to God. I need a friend. I need someone to... It's just not the same. Well, it shouldn't be the same. Because sharing these things with God should be better. than sharing it with me or with a friend or with your even your husband or your wife. Casting your care upon the Lord should feel better. It should do more for you than it does to talk to someone else. Because God is better than we are. God is higher than we are. God understands. How many of you have shared something with someone and you feel like they just don't get it? They don't understand. They say they understand, but you just don't get it. You know who does? God does. But we look to other people before we look to God. God is better. We undervalue the friendship of God and we prop up the value of man. I think, yeah, we won't go there. I'll get in a mess. Number one, get close to God. That's what rowing is. Number two, go to church. Hebrews chapter number 10. What does it mean to keep rowing? It means you're getting close to God. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're worshiping Him. You're praising Him. You're drawing nigh to God. You're casting your cares upon Him. There's a whole lot in there, but that idea is I'm drawing close to God. And that'll tie into some of these other points. But very practically speaking, what do you do when you're facing a hard time? Well, hopefully what you were doing before and what you'll do after is you're faithful to church. Come to church. Guess what we have here 10 o'clock Sunday mornings? Sunday school. Be in Sunday school. Get into church. Get more of church in your life. It's 11 o'clock, worship hour. Busiest service, fullest service. Be there. Wednesday night, you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to see you here. Come to church. You know what our tendency is when we get into the middle of a storm? We should be rowing. We should be coming to church, but we want to put the oar down and stay home. Just don't feel like it. It's not going to be a help. I'm just too stressed. I can't. No, this is where you need to be. You need to be rowing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Get around the fellowship of other Christians. Come to church. You'll hear from God. It's part of that getting close to God, but it's about getting encouraged by other people. And we'll go on to the next point. It'll tie into serving other people. But be here. Sing the songs as loud as you can. Amen? Lift up your voice to the Lord. It's going to help you. I know you don't feel like doing it when you're hurting, but that's when you need to do it the most. Keep on rowing. You know, give your offering. Tithe. What is that? You do what God has told you to do. You keep faithful in those things in storms. You need to stay consistent, stay faithful. You feel like, my tithe, that's going to help. How is a tithe going to help my family problems? I don't know. But I know when you are faithful to God, God is faithful to help us. And if it's something He's told us to do, I want to keep on rowing. Come to church. And then tied into this, provoking unto love and to good works, serve others. Serve others. Go with me to 1 Peter, just a book over or two. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Get close to God. Go to church. Serve others. 1 Peter 4, look at verse number 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. You can't have charity when you're alone. Charity is shown towards other people. It's amazing, and it's sad, and I've experienced it, and I'm sure you have, but we, as I said before, we just like to get alone sometimes when the best thing for us to do is to be around Christians, when it is to be at church, when it is to look at people when you don't want to look at people and hear people when you don't want to hear people. It's not just what you can get from them, though. It's what you can do for them. In the middle of a storm, one of the best things you can do is to serve other people. When you're in the middle of a storm, what are you thinking about? me. Not that what's happening to you isn't important, not that it doesn't carry great weight, but when we get our eyes off of ourselves and we lift them up and we look on other people, we're drawn to serve them. Let's read the verses. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without grudging. Got to throw that in at the end. Sometimes we show hospitality and we're afterwards, I can't believe all they ate. I can't believe what they took. I can't believe they didn't say thank you. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what I can show to you? The grace of God. What God has shown to me. And that will help us remember that it's not about just about me. That day in the boat, there were 12 disciples. I don't know if one was more frightful than the other, fearful. I don't know if one was more panicked. Some were fishermen, not all of them were. They might not all been used to that. But you know why you keep rowing? It's to get the other 11 to shore as well. Because if I stop, I'm not helping you get through your issues. I need to continue faithful. I share the charity of God. I share the goodness of God. I share the grace of God. I look to serve. Make a meal for somebody. Mow somebody's grass. Make some cookies. Write a note. Send a message of encouragement. Bless someone in secret. Clean the church. Do something to serve someone else. I don't feel like it, I know. But that's when you need to keep rowing. Keep rowing. And lastly, oh, actually I got two more. They're quick though. Don't get nervous. Be a witness. Be a witness. I'm so thankful for the blessing that Pastor gave tonight, that little testimony about sharing what the three crosses mean. And this ties into the last point, but in the midst of a storm, we get focused on the temporal. We get focused on worldly problems. And like I said before, it doesn't mean they're not important. But when we live for the eternal, it puts into perspective the things that are temporary. Amen. For the things that will last forever, that have true value. Don't forget the Great Commission. It's why they're in the boat in the first place, is to learn to serve and to get out there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations when things are good. No, it's all the time we get out and we share the gospel. It's who we are as Christians. When you're not sharing the Great Commission, you are not being yourself. At least the way God wants you to be. Be a witness. When you rescue a soul from hell, it doesn't make your storm look so bad anymore. You compare the value of a soul that just got saved for eternity, and you compare it to this thing I have going on, and I hope we can see clearly that one has more value than the other. Be a witness. And lastly, tying into that, live for heaven. Live for heaven. Keep your eyes up. Look to eternity. There's only so much we can do to affect the storm. A lot of times, most of it is out of our hands. Like, you can apologize to restore relationships. You can make a budget to fix financial things. You can organize better. You can exercise. You can take medicine. You can work extra hard. But in the end of the day, it's all in the Lord's hands. And as the disciples did in John chapter number 6, as they did in Mark 4, they're waiting for Jesus to show up. Because that's what really fixes the storm, is when Jesus shows up. Until then, we just grab the oar and we keep rowing. Get close to God. Serve other people. Come to church. Be a witness. And live for eternity. Look to God. There was a slight difference. This isn't the first time the disciples were in a storm with Christ. Before this, they were in a storm. The difference was, anyone remember the other time? What's the difference between the two stories? A little Bible quiz. Brother? Jesus was in the boat with them already, and he was sleeping in the boat. Amen? And this time, Jesus wasn't on the boat. He was on the shore watching. They didn't know he was there, but he could see them, and he comes out to them on the water. And two different ways the storm ends. But both of it happened through Jesus Christ. In the story in John chapter number 6, when Jesus gets into the boat, what happens? They are immediately at the shore, at their destination. In the other story, what does Jesus do? He calms it. Peace, be still, and the water is still. When I thought of those two things, this is something the Lord put on my heart, that, hey, either way, Jesus fixes the storm, glory to God, and we're looking for him. Keep looking towards Christ. But when Jesus calmed the storm, you know what they had to still do? Row! They still had to get to where they were going. It was just easier now because Jesus was there. But it didn't mean they had to stop rowing. In fact, when it's calm, there's no wind. They have to row the boat to get there. It's just easier when Jesus is there with you. Get close to God. That's, if you remember one thing, when things get hard, get close to God. Read your Bible. Pray. Worship him. Sing praises to him. Draw nigh to him. Come to church to hear from him and to be a blessing to others. Serve other people. Keep faithful in those things. Be a witness. Don't get focused on ourselves. Focus on the big mission. And it helps us maybe overlook some of the smaller things when it's put into perspective. And we live for heaven. The one story, Jesus calms it, they have to keep going. Keep growing, keep faithful. In John chapter number 6, Jesus gets them there. I thought, man, maybe that's like most of our storms. Jesus comes in, passes by, we keep going, and then another storm hits, and we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep rowing. One of these days, though, it's going to be the last storm. When we see Jesus, he's going to take us to the final destination, and there are no more storms. We're there. The rowing is done. We made it. But until that day, keep rowing. Amen. Let's stand. We'll pray and be dismissed. I hope this was a blessing. I know I repeated a lot of what Pastor said, but the Lord wouldn't let it leave my heart and my mind. Maybe you weren't listening Sunday night. He preached really short Sunday, too. Amen. So this is part two. I don't know. But it was such a blessing to me, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Keep growing. Maybe you'll remember this little orange paddle. Keep going. Amen. With the basics. You know what they are. If you're not doing it yet, start. Get in your Bible. Pray. Serve others. Be a witness. Be faithful to church. Do the things you know are right to do. Because that's what will help carry you through the storm. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Father, I thank you for the many storms that you have brought me through in my life. I thank you for the lessons that you have taught me. And Lord, I have to say I'm sorry for the times that I have relied on myself or others. And I, Lord, failed to call on you. Father, I pray that as each person here maybe looks at their heart and their lives, that there's a place they maybe have put the paddle down, they have stopped rowing. Father, encourage them tonight to pick it back up. Do what they know is right to do. Don't get off track. Don't get discouraged. Don't be fearful. But just to keep going. Father, help us not to forget these basic things. Help us to be faithful each day. Father, as we have lifted up our request to you tonight, I just ask you once again to look down on us and see the needs that we have. Lord, we trust in your will and your goodness and your mercy towards us. But Father, we could sure use your help. We ask for your blessings as we go, that we would keep going. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Anything, Pastor? Thank you. You're dismissed. And God bless you.
Glory he sheds on our way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.